A little bit of a long clip, but I wanted to make a point. Every time I watch this, well, first of all, I know you saw there was a bad word in there, and I apologize about that. But it is such a great example of what happens in life sometimes. I don't understand how it's possible that this lady, Susan Boyle, with a voice like that, let me tell you, you don't see voices like that all the time. I mean, that is an incredible voice. She could go anywhere she wants to with a voice like that. And she's stuck in this little collection of villages, and apparently she sings every week at church, and she's just you just look at her and you say, well, she's kind of a frumpy old 47-year-old lady, and of course not, but then you hear her sing, and it's like, my goodness, the heavens open is such a wonderful thing. How is it possible? How is it possible that she hasn't made it in the world up to this point? Was not anybody there to encourage her? To say, man, you've got a voice. Or did everybody kind of look at the external stuff in her life and say, well, you know, the voice is okay, but that's about it. And you'll never make it in life. And maybe there were people in her life that are saying, yeah, but she'll just never make it in life. You know the importance of encouragement. You know how important it is to encourage each other. And today we're going to talk about that as our final application. We've been going now for 5 or 6 weeks on this sermon series, Apps for Life, and we're going to end today. And I want to tell you this. I have really, really enjoyed this sermon series. When I put it together originally, I was a little bit apprehensive. Doing things a little bit differently than we normally do. And a lot of times, sermons speak to us as much as they speak to you as pastors. And this sermon series has really spoke to me. And it has been a great sermon series. I hope you've enjoyed it. But I want to leave you with one last application. And that application is one of encouragement. Encouragement. The ability to go to a person like Susan Boyle and say, you know, I see something in you. And somebody else may not see it, but I see it. And there's something great there. There's something heavenly there. And I think that you should pursue that. You know how important encouragement is, and yet there are so many times when we do not encourage at all. As a matter of fact, there was a guy named John Gott with the Gottman Institute, and he has studied relationships for 30 years. And he has come to the conclusion, this is based on statistical research, that there are two things that happens in most communications when people talk. They're either one, encouraging another, or number two, they're tearing down and criticizing one another. And as he's looked and researched over 30 years, he's come to the conclusion that the ratio of encouragement to criticism is such that criticism happens at a ratio 6 times that of encouragement. So that means that in your normal life, if you're a normal person and you're having normal communications with your spouse, your kids, or your boss at work, or your employees, or people at school, or the people that you come into contact with, by and large, the fact is that 6 times as many of those communications are criticisms as they are encouragements. And what he has said is that because of that, every time we communicate, instead of building each other up, we're throwing barbs at each other. And so the other person throws barbs. And pretty soon, all communications, normally, they start to become very negative and they become very critical. And just simply the fact that that happens means that a lot of times there's critical stuff going on. And what he's saying is that we can solve a lot of the problems in the world if we just know that that is the case, and what we need to do is to kind of change the balance ratio of criticism to encouragement. We need to encourage each other. We don't need to criticize each other. And people actually go to his clinic and they learn techniques on how to speak more encouraging words. And all it takes is just a little bit of encouragement. All it takes is changing that ratio around so where the encouragement is 6 times as much as the criticism. And he says that alone will do an incredible thing for your relationship. Now, the fact is that is a very biblical thing. Because if you look at our Old Testament reading this morning from Proverbs, and if you look at Proverbs 11:25, it says, a generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. If you encourage others, if you promote not criticism, but good things in other people's lives, you become refreshed. Well, when you're refreshed, you give more encouragement. When people are encouraged, they start to give more encouragement. And so instead of being exponentially negative, it becomes exponentially positive. And think of what those relationships would be if we would simply just sit back and encourage other people. That's what the Bible says to do. There's a problem. It happens a lot of times with children. And that is sometimes we encourage falsely. Sometimes we give encouragement and hope and tell people things that really aren't true. And we think by telling them that, well, we're giving them encouraging things, it's going well, why not do that? But the fact is, there are a lot of people who go through life where everyone around them is just telling them all the things they want to hear and they never grow. Now, Simon Cowell is also on a show called American Idol. I'm sure you've all seen it. And whenever it's the first two or three opening episodes of American Idol, what happens? You get these people out there and it's like, what do you want to do? And they, I want to sing like Elvis Presley, or I want to sing like whoever, and they get out on the, and they can't carry a pitch, and they can't sing, they have no stage presence, there is absolutely nothing in their life that would show that they could even remotely be a singer. And you know that somewhere back there is a proud somebody, mom, dad, cousin, uncle, aunt, boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever, out there saying, oh, you've got the most lovely stage presence voice, you should try for American Idol, and not telling the truth. The fact is, if you're not telling the truth in love, you're actually doing more detriment than good. The encouragement has to be true encouragement. It has to be things based on true stuff. You can't just color over it and say, oh, it's great, you know, go for it. Be on American Idol. You're doing a horrible disservice to that person. There are times where you could say, I see a lot of potential here, but maybe you should go get voice lessons. I remember, true story, my oldest daughter goes to college, to high school, and she's in math class, and, you know, if you have any problems, any of this stuff, you know, just give me a call. Well, about 2 or 3 weeks in the math class, she's like, Dad, I need help. It's like, oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Because I love math, okay? I was born in math. I live math. Math is my life. And so I go over, and we open the textbook, and it was one of those questions like, describe the world around you in mathematical terms. And I'm thinking, oh, how in the world do you teach that? I was really upset, you know, when you think about it. I was really upset because for me, math is A plus B equals C. Now solve the equation. Go through all these exercises over and over again. And I'm thinking in my head, great. Now we have the new math that instead of working on equations, they just tell each other to think about the world in mathematical terms and it'll all turn out okay. So I actually did this and I feel bad about it, but I call the math teacher on the phone and I start yelling at her. I said, this is not math. This is essay answer stuff. And for people who love math, this is not math. She's like, well, not everybody is at the same level as you, and we got to work and, you know, all this stuff. And finally, I can tell you this. It was a good math class. They did learn math and all that. It's like you can't just color the world and say it's good when it's not. You can't just tell people you're wonderful if they've got things to work on. So as parents, we're constantly doing this, right? We want to encourage, but we want to encourage the right way. And so we do. We know in relationships. We know at the work. We know in everything that we've got to encourage, that we're required to encourage, and that when we do that, man, the world can open up for these kids. But there is one other aspect, and it is this. There are times in life when all the encouragement in the world really doesn't help. Like for when we're parents, we think, okay, our children have door number A, door number B, and door number C. And if we encourage them, they might move from A, which is pretty good, to B, which is really great. But if we can really encourage them, they might get door number C and open it up, and the world's going to fall in their lap, and everything's going to be wonderful. But let me tell you, because those of you who are old enough know, that the world always doesn't happen the way that we plan that the world is going to happen. We may make a path for our life. We may set a course in our life, and that's where we're going. And the world, we're going to take the tiger by the tail. We're going to go and beat the world down. We're going to conquer. And yet the world puts roadblocks in our life, and these roadblocks are pretty severe. You might have been a college graduate recently thinking, when I get out, I'm going to go and I'm going to find this great job, I'm going to work. And you graduate from college and everything that is available to you in that job is completely closed off. The stock market's come down. Nobody's hiring. And you've got to go in a completely different direction. Or you might say, I'm gonna have this job, and you go into this job, and you start working in that field, and all of a sudden that job goes away, and now you can't find a job. Or maybe you say, I'm going to be a star athlete, and in high school and in college you are great, and then you're playing in a game, and all of a sudden you have this injury, and your whole entire career just ended. Or maybe you're in a relationship with somebody that you love, and they get sick, and maybe it's mortally sick, and they leave. And all of these things that you had plans and all the encouragement in the world is not going to help you when your world comes crashing down upon you. And when that happens, I want you to think of the words of Jesus. Because Jesus says in Matthew 11 this, he says, "Take my yoke." Now, I know what you're thinking. It's like, well, when the world is crashing down, I don't need another yoke. I don't need another thing around my neck taking me around and pulling me down. When the world is falling down on me, that's the last thing I need is another yoke. Maybe you know what it's like, you know, where you're down and out, you've just hit the wall, and you got people around you, and they're encouraging, oh, just get up and start again. It's like, do you not see the wall in front of me? Oh, just get up and run. You'll right through the wall. So you get up and you run to the hall and you fall down again. Take my yoke. Jesus, I got enough on my plate. I don't need another yoke. But when Jesus was talking about take my yoke to his disciples, remember, they were a very agricultural community. And the imagery in this parable, in this saying by Jesus, was not lost on them. Because a yoke was actually a bar with two hoops on it. I think we have a picture of it. And what it was for two oxen to work in the field. But when they had two oxen in the field, they worked together as a team. But when it came to training a new oxen, they would take the most experienced and mature oxen that there was, and they would put them on one side of the yoke, and they would take a completely inexperienced ox, and they would put them on the other side of the yoke. And what would happen is that they would start to plow the field, and the strong oak would take the whole entire burden of that yoke and plow the field. The other ox was just there how to learn how to plow the field. And over time, that ox would see what he was supposed to do, and then he would start to pull his weight, and pretty soon they're pulling equally, and then someday he becomes an old and mature ox, and he moves over to the other side, and they bring another one in to start to train. Listen to the full entire verse of what Jesus is saying. If you read the whole thing, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in the heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." What Jesus is saying is that when you come into times of your life where the wall comes down, where the brick wall is there, and you've run into it, and you don't know where to go, and all the encouragement of the world is not going to help you, Jesus says, "Come into my yoke, and I will take you along, and my burden is light." What he's saying, and this is the most encouraging thing that you can ever hear, is that Jesus Christ is with you. This morning, as we baptized, we yoked two people to Jesus Christ, and it is not a burden, because he will walk with them their entire life. And those that you're following Christ, your yoke is light. He is there with you. He went through death before you so that you wouldn't have to do that. And he will stand beside you on judgment day, yoked with him in front of God the Father. And it'll be a beautiful thing. When you need encouragement in your life, remember this. Jesus Christ is with you. He took it all for you. He takes the burden for you. The yoke is his, and we are yoked with him, and it is not a bad thing, it is a great thing. That's the word of encouragement from this morning. Take his yoke, for it is an easy yoke. In Jesus' name, amen. 'Cause you put the light-
shut to the